First of all, we're very happy to welcome back Father Thomas Hahn, who's visiting us from Lafayette, Indiana. He's been here for a family wedding. You may recall 5 and 4 years ago, he was with us as a seminarian, as an acolyte, and then also as a deacon, and then went on to ordination. Now he's the chaplain at Guerin High School in Lafayette, and even has one of our parishioners as a student whose family moved out that way a couple of years ago. So we're glad to have you back. Now, with all of that said in mind, on Monday we celebrate and we mark Memorial Day. It's very important that all of us take some time to pray for those men and women who have served our country in the various military services and have sacrificed their lives for us, for the freedoms that we enjoy. We should also pray for their families. After all, those families, too, made sacrifices. I've always had a special affection for Memorial Day, probably because my grandfather served in World War I, and then my mom and dad came in at the end of World War II. So my father was in the Navy as a corpsman, and then my mom served as a cadet nurse. So they respected the sacrifice. Working in the medical field, they saw many of the veterans come back injured. They also, especially my mom, had to care for some of the prisoners of war from Japan that had come back and had been so cruelly treated. So they always instilled in my brother and myself a deep sense of gratitude for our veterans and those who had died in the service of our country. Also, when we think of the leadership at the time, whether President Roosevelt or President Truman, they weren't afraid to make tough decisions to bring peace to this world. But today, we also celebrate another memorial, but a memorial in a different sense. Today's the Feast of Corpus Christi, the solemnity of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. As the Second Vatican Council said, the Eucharist and our Mass are the source and summit of our spiritual lives as Catholic. So we have a memorial in the sense that we do historically, chronologically, remember back to when our Lord Jesus was on this earth and how he suffered, died, and rose for our salvation. We remember the events of the Last Supper, as St. Paul recorded in our second passage. But our memory is a little bit different. In sacred scripture, in the Old Testament particularly, that idea of memorial was a living reality. Yes, it happened, but it lives on. It touches us now. It's timeless. It's the idea of what we call kairotic time, God's time. God's time that is always eternally present. So when you and I say, well, Jesus died for our sins, well, chronologically, we weren't there. 33 AD when he sacrificed himself on the cross. But in that timeless sense of time, what he did touches us. And that is true because he rose from the dead. He's conquered time and space. He's conquered suffering and death. So my brothers and sisters, when we gather for Mass, we place ourselves in the presence of the living God. We are here to worship the Trinity. We are here to plunge ourselves into the living reality of our Lord's passion, death, and resurrection. So consider this Mass, which basically goes back to the time of the apostles, and it's very structured. So we gather, we call to mind our sins, asking for forgiveness. Keep in mind, though, that does not replace confession. Regular sacramental confession is important for our souls, and if anyone were ever conscious of a mortal sin, then that person must go to confession to be forgiven before receiving communion again. We give praise to the Trinity in the Gloria, and then we are fed with the readings of sacred scripture. My job is then to instruct the faithful to apply these texts to our regular life here and now. Also, we profess our faith. We pray for the needs of our church, the needs of our country, even the world. But then we move to the sacrifice. And this is very important. So it's like this progression that comes to a climax. Remember, as a priest, I, through the sacrament of holy orders, am called to act in the person of Christ. So I offer, actually Christ offers through me, his eternal, ever-living sacrifice. You also, though, offer a sacrifice. This is why you'll hear me and pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable. Your sacrifice is your faith. Your sacrifice is your joys, sorrows, happiness, pleasures, pains, triumphs, failures, whatever circumstance of life you have. You offer that to the Lord, knowing soon he's going to come to feed you with his life. So with that then, the priest prays the Eucharistic prayer. Again, we hear the words that St. Paul and the Gospels recorded. The priest says, "This is my body, this is my blood." It's not mine, it's not my Bill Saunders body and blood, it's Jesus's. So it's like Jesus is speaking through me, and with those efficacious words by which he could raise the dead to life, like Lazarus, cure a blind man, heal the paralytic, or raise Lazarus from the dead, or multiply the loaves and the fish, as we heard, with the same efficacious words, that bread and wine substantially becomes truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus. Christ miraculously shares himself with us. Yes, the characteristics, technically called the accidents, shape, color, size, shape, smell, and so on, those things don't change. But the what it is changes. We receive Christ. This is why, after communion, the Blessed Sacrament is reserved in the tabernacle. We don't take the hosts and put them back in the containers in the sacristy. No, we now have the real presence of Christ. So we need to then open our hearts. When we receive communion, we need to be mindful then that we are becoming one with our Lord, but brothers and sisters with each other. Truly, Christ is sharing his life. He's uniting us in our lives as a church. And then, of course, we give thanks, and then we'll go forward to continue on our mission. With all that said, though, which is very important to have that clear belief, clear understanding of our faith, you and I have to refresh ourselves. Anything that happens over and over again can become sort of routine. Our minds at times can wander. At times we can become distracted. So we need to really think about, how do I prepare myself? So our Lord wants to share his life, but we have to share our life. Over the years of being a priest, I've heard some people now and then say, particularly those who leave the church, "Well, I got nothing out of Mass." Well, that's rather ignorant, because you did get something. You heard the Word of God, if you're paying attention, and also you received the Holy Eucharist. So the problem probably is, for those people, they didn't open up their hearts. Christ knocks on the door, but he doesn't kick it in. We have to open our heart to him. So some practical points then. I would encourage you, take time to prepare for Mass. If you have little ones especially, as a family, read the words of sacred scripture for that Sunday together. Maybe on Wednesday evening or Friday evening, sometime close. Those are the little Magnificats that we have, are a great tool by which we could follow along the readings and so on. But sit down. As a family, discuss those readings. Maybe come up with your own homily. Think about what I might say in a homily for that week. Sort of apply it so that the kids especially can be more receptive. Then on Sunday morning, make sure you're up early enough to get here on time. I know disasters happen, like things happen in diapers and there's traffic lights and so on. But nevertheless, really plan on being here a little early so that we have time to settle, to quiet ourselves, to focus, and pray for our loved ones. When coming into church, be mindful. Use the holy water. Make the sign of the cross. It reminds us of our baptism. Before entering the pew, genuflect. That's a sign of reverence to our Lord, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. As the Mass begins, participate. So, sing. Read the readings, following along. Say the prayers. Respond. All this helps us open our hearts. That's the key. If we just get used to the idea of entertainment that's so easily surrounding us in our world today, or the idea of technology, it just comes up and sort of mystifies us, we're going to lose the point. Worship is putting ourselves, body and soul, into this act of love. And then we come to communion. It's always good to review Holy Communion. So, when coming up the aisle, we have our hands folded. Saint Dominic said that those physical practices help build that interior disposition. So in humility, we have our hands folded. We don't walk up the aisle, la 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 la. No, we have our hands folded, focusing on what we're about to receive. When we're sort of the next one in line, it's important to bow or to genuflect. Again, a profound reverence. When in front of the priest, you have the option on how to receive. So, if a person receives on the tongue, priest says, Body of Christ, you say Amen, I place host on tongue, you make sign of cross, go back to the pew and give thanks. If you receive on the hand, then you make a throne for God. And that's how the early church described it. So the hand that you take with goes on the bottom. Now the hand should be clean. I once had a little fellow that had a happy face with Hi Father, which was very touching, but really the hands should be clean. So, priest says, Body of Christ, you say Amen. He places host in hand. Step to the side, very conscious of what's in your hand. Make the sign of the cross back to the pew. Now, if you decide to go back to the pew without consuming, so if you're going to be a body snatcher, I'm coming after you. So, now, the response is Amen. It means, yes, I believe, but it also means it is so. It's an act of faith. So it's very important to say Amen clearly and distinctly. Once I had a lady, I said, the body of Christ, and she said, I am. I felt like saying, well, if you are, go in the tabernacle and stay there. So, anyway, with all that said, we have to be conscious because I've seen it all. For the people with the tongues, there are always those who are the clams. You sort of have to poke Jesus through the little clam shell. Or you have the lizards. And then there's the snappers. I'm lucky. After 32 years, I still have my fingers. But I remember Father Sly, first Sunday he helped with communion as a priest. Father Sly came back to the sacristy and said, some lady bit me. So, but then you have the hands people. Now that's more creative, isn't it? So instead of the nice little throne, we have the jugglers. Sometimes there's the one-handed bandit. There's the spider people that sort of do this. And then there's the Venus flytraps. And then also the praying mantises that want to do that. And then, of course, you always have the pro-choice Catholics that give me the option. So, the key is we need to be very mindful of how we receive. And for you parents, instruct your children, because children need that reinforcement on how to do something properly. But in the end, go back to the pew, pray, give thanks. We don't need to be looking around and see who else is receiving communion. This is our time with our Lord. Now, one caution. How sad it is when you see people just leaving after communion. Who does that remind you of? Judas, who left the Last Supper early. I wish I had some kind of a monitor so that when people left Mass early, there'd be this big speaker that said, "Judas, Judas, Judas, Judas is now leaving the church." And the sad part is, I say this, and then I know some people will still do it anyway, but that's what Judas did, so that's life. But pray for those people, because obviously it's like, "Well, Lord, I've given you enough time. I'm finished with you. See you next week." This is an act of worship, a holy event. So after communion, we conclude our Mass, and we go forth with the priest's blessing. We go forth, hopefully with hearts on fire, to be those good disciples, to know Jesus is with us, to face the challenges of this week, and know that with Him we have no fear. The gift of the Eucharist is Christ is with us. We need to open our hearts so that He dwells within them. May God bless you.